devotion, a daily devotion. And it kind of fit into what I'm talking about this morning in a roundabout way. So I wanted to remind you about a couple of incidents that weren't nice incidents, but we'll be familiar with them. One was years ago in 1937, long before any of us were born, Amelia Earhart, if you remember that name, made her final voyage by air and journey by plane in 1937. Amelia, if you know, was the first female aviator in history. In 1937, her plane went missing while en route flying solo across the Pacific Ocean near the end of her flight. Her plane, her body was never recovered. 2 years later, they finally closed the book and declared her as dead, not just as a missing person, but as dead. And the next item we'll remember, because it's more recent, was in 1999 when John F. Kennedy Jr. took his flight and his last flight as well and crashed. The phenomenon, it was a navigation error. The phenomenon occurs when, due to poor visibility, pilots become disoriented and forget to rely on their instruments to help them successfully reach their destinations. That's not a really exciting way to start my morning off, but when we get into the Word this morning, we're going to realize how important it is losing our way, losing navigation, when God has given us the navigation, which is His Bible, and how important it is that we walk with Him continuously and talk with Him and have a relationship with Him. So again, I welcome you all this morning, and I humbly stand here and just am so thankful for the opportunity to speak this morning. As I've said before, when it's a frightening thing sometimes to be asked to speak, but it is so rewarding for the time prior to that you are digging into God's Word. And His Word is so magnificent. His Word, the further you dig, it's almost like the further you realize how little you know. And so it's a great thing to stand in the presence of God. And I just welcome you here this morning. Joe and Ingrid Masters, Pastor Andrew's mom and dad are here, and Michelle and the children, and so many more people, Ted, and everybody that's here. I just welcome you and thank you for coming. So we're going to start this morning. This is called The Journey, Walking with God as He Walks with Us. And the chapter that we're going to read from is Exodus 3, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 15 if you want to turn in your Bibles with me. And you're kind of going to wonder why I chose this scripture, but as we unfold His Word, we're going to see exactly what the scripture has to do with what I'm talking about this morning. So verse 1 of chapter 3 of Exodus. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you say to the Israelites. I am has sent you to me. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. I love that scripture. I love the story of Moses. I love the story of God and how he knew that his people had been in bondage. And he was adamant that Moses go and bring them from oppression into life. And that's kind of what I want to focus on this morning as we go on our journey. We're all on a journey, sometimes alone and sometimes together. I appreciated Pastor Ralph's sermon last week, particularly when he said, God has been with us every step of the way. He has been, he is, and he always will be. This is God's promise to us. His word says that I will never leave you or forsake you. I think that as we consider the journey that we are on, we desperately remember and understand just how much God wants and desires to walk with us, that we were created to walk with him. From the first book in the Bible where Adam and Eve walked with God in the coolness of the morning, until the last book, I love this line, when the elders finally just fall down and worship him. We are called, we are chosen to walk with him, beside him. Can you imagine that the great I am, the creator of the universe, the one who called the heaven and earth into being, would desire us to walk with him, alongside of him? What a privilege that we carry this morning. I read a quote, and it's not a Christian quote, but it said, I knew a long time ago that good or bad, planned or spontaneous, my journey would not be ordinary. We have all been called on a journey, an incredibly extraordinary journey with God. And here is the good news. It is a good and well-planned journey for each one of us, together and individually. God has called us to walk with him, to talk with him, to hear his voice, and ultimately to fellowship with him. From the beginning of time, God ordained that we walk with him, to journey with him as we go through this life. Walking with God takes commitment, determination, obedience, and so much more. Many of us here have walked with God for a long time and know that all well, all very well. Many of us have learned that to follow in his way is not always going to be easy, but that it's always going to be worth it. We come to realize that especially in moments of life's difficulties, it's important to stay on his path and trust him for all things. We all have known people who have chosen not to walk with God. Sometimes I wonder how God can handle all of the things that happen. But recently, I came across a quote that said, "My shoulders are this big, but God's shoulders are this big." The best example of knowing what it was to have walked with God and then to not be walking with God is that found in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, with Adam and Eve. We all know what happened in the Garden of Eden with them. They took the wrong step, they walked a wrong path, they listened to a wrong voice, and fell into sin. That's a simplified version of it. The consequences of this came at a high price for them as they were expelled from the garden, and worse yet, from God's presence. No longer did they walk with him as they once had. As one author said, they were sent to work the ground, the same dirt out of which they had been made. The unthinkable became their reality. It is important that we understand what it is to walk with God and how and why our continued fellowship with him is so important. In the natural sense, walking with someone else can be almost parallel to how we walk with Jesus. Sometimes I walk with friends. We walk things out, we talk things out, we plan things, we fill our entire time together with walking and good conversation. We catch up on each other's lives and the challenges that each of us go through. We listen to each other. We get to minister to one another along the way when we need it. We enjoy the company of each other as we walk together. The same thing is what God desires from us and with us. He wants us to fellowship with him, to walk and talk and listen to one another. God also wants us to know how we walk and who we walk with is so important to him and should be to us, especially today when we have just come through the effects of COVID, when all kinds of things are still happening around us as a result. We need God to accompany us on this journey. God brings people into our lives to demonstrate how to walk with God, and we are so thankful for them. But we serve under the greatest example of how to walk the Christian walk while on this journey, and that example is Jesus. It is not hard to walk in the way when you are shown the way, and that is exactly what Jesus came to earth to do. Jesus spent 3 years of ministry on earth, showing us how to walk God's way. Every area that we walk, every question we could ever have, every situation we could ever encounter, God has the answers covered in his word, the Bible. There are three areas this morning that I feel that God wants us to touch on as we embark on this journey together this morning. Number one, he wants us to look at faith for when we can't see and even when we can. Number two, his word, which is the light and the truth of every matter. And number three, his faithfulness, even when I'm not. Faith is our greatest tool as we walk through this journey called life. It transcends any form of psychology, any form of psychiatry, and even any form or kind of counseling that we could receive from this world while in this world. I am not negating them, but what we irrevocably need to know to keep us in his path is what we believe and who we believe in. And knowing this, it is important that we do not waver in what we know to be the truth. We need to know that we can trust God regardless of what we see or what we can't see. The Bible says that faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance that the Lord is working even though at times we cannot see it. Faith knows that no matter what the situation is in our lives, God has the solution and is working on it for our good. Faith cannot be just a notion that we hold on to in tough times. Faith is an important element that helps us to get through any situation, that helps us to walk the straight and narrow path before us, lighting up the pathway in times of darkness, helping us to give us strength in times of weakness, and keeping us strong in good times as we fellowship with Him. Habakkuk 2:3 says that the righteous will live by his faith, that the person in right standing before God through loyal and steady believing is fully alive. When I am serving God, when I am obeying His word, when I am walking in faith with God and staying on His path, I am so alive. Anybody know what that alive is today? Amen. He has brought us out of the darkness into His light, and He has set us on His path for all eternity. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Another version says that faith shows us the reality of the things we have hoped for, and it provides the evidence of what we cannot see. Have you ever heard people say, just show me the evidence? Here it is, right here. Faith is the evidence of what we cannot see. Every time that we put our faith into action, every time that we believe His word and see His promises to us come to life, our spirits are ignited. We become fueled by the Holy Spirit to be able to have the faith that we need for our next situation, our next step in this journey of life. Faith is the result of believing God's word, the good news that Jesus died for our sin and made a way for us to be right with God and spend eternity in heaven with Him. In his book, When God Whispers Your Name, Max Lucado says this about faith. Faith is trusting what the eye can't see. Eyes see the prowling lion. Faith sees Daniel's angel. Eyes see storms. Faith sees Noah's rainbow. Eyes see giants. Faith sees Canaan. Your eyes see your faults. Your faith sees your Savior. Your eyes see your guilt. Your faith sees His blood. Your eyes look in the mirror and see a sinner, a failure, a promise breaker. But by faith, you look in the mirror and see the robed prodigal bearing the ring of grace on your finger and the kiss of your Father on your face. That is so beautiful. When we allow the reality of the gospel and our faith to affect every part of our lives, it changes the way we think, which changes the way we walk, which changes the way we talk, which changes the way we behave and live. Faith causes us to act on what we have not yet experienced, to believe promises from God that have not yet been fulfilled, and to trust God even when our situations haven't changed. We can have faith to do the impossible, to wait for the improbable, and to walk in the unimaginable blessings of God. In the Bible, I have written, we live by faith when we have confidence in who He is. How true and how necessary that is. This confidence comes from walking with Him, from knowing Him, from hearing Him, and from knowing His voice when He speaks to us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. How do we get to the Father? Through Jesus. In John 14, verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus answered and said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Faith in Jesus is faith in God. If you are wondering what this morning's reading from Exodus had to do with this, I'm getting to it now. Yeah, thank you. In Exodus 3, God spoke to Moses out of a bush which was on fire but not burning up. In this scripture, God was commissioning Moses to return to Egypt to lead God's people out of slavery. Moses responded with doubt and questions, but the one critical question that Moses asked God was, what do I say when people ask, what is his name? That is, who will I say has sent me? The answer that God gave to Moses is central to this theme, and it is so important. God identifies himself using this phrase, which is actually just a description, not a name, when he said, I am who I am, or simply, I am, indicating his eternal, uncreated, necessary, and absolute existence. This phrase is both simple and profound. He does not refer to himself as God or Yahweh, as the Jewish would have known him. He simply says, I am. In the New Testament, Jesus used the term, I am, 7 different occasions in reference to himself. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Before Abraham was, I am. In doing this, Jesus' audience would immediately recognize his claim to divinity, that he was an integral part of what is known as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we truly believe that God is who he says he is, that he is greater than any other God, that he is eternal, that he is necessary, that he is the God who created this universe and all that is in it, that he sent his son Jesus to die for us that we might have eternal life. We can believe that he is walking with us, that he will do what he has said he will do, that we can live by faith, we can walk by faith, and we can encourage those around us to do the same, because we know who the great I am is. We can trust God regardless of what we can see or can't see. Number two I wanted to look at is his word, the light and truth of the matter. It gets down to us believing this, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God's desire is that we get this walk right while we're on this earth, while we are on this journey. He sent Jesus to die for us, to give us a life that we did not deserve, to show us the way to live, to show us that there is purpose and meaning in this life, and that it is only found in believing in him. God is determined to make things right that had been wronged way back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He determined to show us all how to get back on his path and stay there. Not the world's path, not the path that would lead to destruction, but his path, his way, the path of righteousness, the path that would lead us to eternal life with him. And he determined to make his path available for all of us to be part of. No one excluded if they received Jesus as their Savior. Jesus said, "I am the light of this world." He said, "Any man who follows me shall certainly not walk in the dark, but shall have the light of life." Psalm 119, verse 105, a beautiful psalm, a long psalm. But verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. His words throw a beam of light on my dark path. Knowing him and walking with him is a safely illuminated path." We can walk in uncharted land, in unknown places, in situations that we have never walked before, knowing that he has already been there. He has put his word in front of our path so that we can see clearly in front of us. We don't need to fear the darkness. He has provided his word, the light, and his light pushes the darkness back. Jesus lights the path, the darkness around us, and guides us forward. He keeps us walking on his straight path, keeps us walking toward the Father. Jesus is the Word, is the way, he is the truth, and he brings us life. He keeps us from falling, and when we do, he's ready to pick us up, placing us firmly back on solid ground. God's word keeps us from losing our way. His word keeps our ears finely tuned to its truth so that when the enemy comes in like a roaring lion, we can remember that the enemy of our soul has no strength. He has no power over us. I am reminded of what Pastor Ralph said last week in his message. Our circumstances do not dictate the full fulfillment of God's work in me. Satan does not control my destiny. What a powerful statement of truth. Because Jesus is the light and shines his light for us to see, I will not lose my way. I know which way to go, and just as important, I know which way not to go. How important his word is to me, staying on his path of righteousness. Jesus said, "I am the light of this world. He that follows me shall have the light of life." Number three that I felt God wanted us to look at this morning, his faithfulness, even when we're not. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This is a word of hope for us all. God will hold us even when we fail. And trust me, there are times when we will fail. But those who endure will reign with him. Those who struggle or are faithless are still held by him. He cannot be faithless to us. When we choose to walk with God, he remains faithful, even when we are not. 2 Corinthians 5 says that we are clothed in Christ, and Romans 8, 38, 39 says that we cannot be separated from his love, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. In the natural, I am not a real walker. Not consistently, that is. I'm going to tell you that when I walk with my friend, however, I walk for the fellowship, not for the steps on my watch. That is what God wants from us, our fellowship. Not the steps, not the how-tos. He's done it all for us. He has shown us the way. He has made his way clear. As we walk on this journey with him, he has sent out the invitation. Come, walk with me. Micah 6, 7 says, you have been told, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly and to love goodness and to walk humbly with your God. Because of his mercy and goodness, my faith and walk has been given opportunity to develop daily, step by step, mile by mile, year by year. He has already made the way, and his name is Jesus. Amen. God, this morning as we close the book on this, we just thank you that you will never close the book on us, that the invitation for us to walk with you and to talk with you is always open. Lord God, today we come into your presence and we humbly submit to you. We humbly say that, Lord God, it is my pleasure to walk with you and to hear you talk with me. Father God, I just present my path that is before me. I just commit it to you. I commit every person listening this morning that their paths be committed to you. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you. So Jesus, this morning, we thank you that you made yourself available for us. You made yourself, when you stretched out your arms on Calvary, you made the way clear for us. You made the way available for us. You made God available to us. Thank you that we get to live with you through all eternity. And as we go through this journey of life, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would hold us tight, that you would hold us on your path of righteousness for your name's sake. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great week, and we love you all.